Hello, everyone. It's been a while since we've heard of a news story that doesn't surround itself or speak of the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, today is going to be that episode where we speak of that news story, which has nothing to do with the coronavirus. So I know many of you are still at your homes, you're practicing social distancing, and you're listening to the guidelines and regulations that are set out by your government. But I thought today would be a great day to explore a topic that could kind of take us away from what is going on within our countries struggling with COVID-19. I'm just going to kind of throw out some of the other news stories that have been going out right now, and then we'll get to our main subject for tonight. So if you haven't heard already, Prince Charles has tested positive with COVID-19, and it was just reported today that the royal family tested him and Camilla. Unfortunately, he tested positive and Camilla tested negative. Another piece of news is Ontario is now closing playgrounds and parks in an effort to stop the socializing of youngsters and spread of COVID-19. And so this is another approach by the government to put in more regulations in order for people to continually practice social distancing and prevent the spread of this virus anymore. And now that that is out of the way, we can finally get into the real subject. I will be your host tonight. My name, as usual, is Kevin Hobie, and you are listening to the only podcast hosted by me. And this podcast is called
A Mention with Kevin.
So as we know, the world has been taken a grip by COVID-19, and the reports, the media, what governments are reporting and what they're regulating right now is taking everybody's focus and priority. So I started asking myself some questions today, especially. How does COVID-19 affect areas that aren't completely globalized? Places that are isolated from the news, the media, where technology communications aren't on par, and so they haven't been told about what is happening with the rest of the world, and what is going on with this virus. Does life still continue? Or do they get word somehow from another source? So, with that being said, we are going to discuss the Taliban and U.S. negotiations that are going on in Afghanistan. So today, gunmen and suicide bombers raided a Sikh religious complex in the Afghan capital of Kabul today, Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. They killed 25 people before security forces killed all the attackers, the government said. The Islamic State militant group claimed responsibility for the attack in a statement. Sikhs have been the target of attacks by Islamic militants before in the south of Asia. Their community in Afghanistan numbers fewer than 300 families, so they are a minority among the Afghani people. Several hours after the early morning attack was launched, Interior Minister spokesperson Tariq Aryan said an operation by the security forces was over and all the attackers had been killed. He did not say how many were killed. The minister said 25 people who had been in the religious compound had been killed, 8 wounded, and 80 had been rescued. Narendra Singh Khalsalsa, a member of parliament who represents the tiny Sikh community, said he had reports that up to 200 people had been trapped in the temple during that attack. Outside, families gathered and women cried as they waited to find out the fate of their relatives. Back in the late 1980s, there were about 500,000 Sikhs scattered across Afghanistan, many from families that had been there for generations. But most had fled after years of civil war and the rise of the Taliban. Human rights activists in countries including the United States, India, and Pakistan condemned the attacks. Such despicable acts have no political, religious, or moral justification and must be rejected outright, a Pakistani foreign minister said. India said the attack was particularly egregious, coming as Afghanistan sought to deal with the growing coronavirus pandemic. Such cowardly attacks on the places of religious worship on a minority community, India said, reflect the diabolic mindset of the perpetrators and their backers. In 2018, a suicide bombing targeted the Sikh community had claimed by the Islamic State killed more than a dozen people in the eastern Afghan city of Jalalabad. The United States last month struck a deal with the Taliban on the withdrawal of U.S.-led international troops, but agreed the agreement does not include the Islamic State militants. The attack came a day after the United States said it would cut aid to the government by $1 billion over frustrations that feuding political leaders could not reach an agreement and form a team to negotiate with the Taliban. If you've been listening to this story or have heard anything about it, you know that the U.S. has been organizing themselves, especially under Trump's orders, to produce a peace agreement between the Taliban and other forces in terms of having a ceasefire. Unfortunately, the Taliban came to the table at first, organized with a distinct leader, but now things have kind of fallen apart on their behalf, and it doesn't appear like an agreement can be made because all these smaller tribes are starting to appear within their own larger group. Mike Pompeo has flown to Doha to meet senior Taliban officials after talks with the Afghan government in Kabul as a part of a mission to salvage this short-lived peace agreement. The U.S. Secretary of State's decision to make the trip despite the State Department's warning of all Americans to avoid foreign travel reflects the importance the administration puts on saving the 29th of February's U.S.-Taliban ceasefire agreement, which was meant to lead to talks between Kabul and the Taliban on Afghanistan's future. Pompeo was to meet the chief Taliban negotiator, Mullah Baradar, after spending nearly 9 hours in the Afghan capital with the incumbent president, Ashraf Ghani, and his rival, Abdullah Abdullah, who is disputing Ghani's official victory in last year's election. Both men have held on their own separate inauguration ceremonies. The rift in Kabul and the breakdown of the planned prisoner exchange with the Taliban have stalled progress towards peace talks following the agreement of the temporary ceasefire, under which the Taliban wished it would not attack U.S. troops as they withdrew from the country. U.S. and allied troops have begun their withdrawal, but the Taliban attacks on Afghan targets have almost returned to their pre-ceasefire level, and there is no immediate prospect of political negotiation between the insurgents and government officials that were supposed to start on March 10th. The two sides have held talks via Skype in the past, but there was no sign of a breakthrough on the core disagreement. The Afghan government wants a staggered release of prisoners, but the Taliban are demanding that Kabul free 5,000 of its fighters all at once, as the U.S. agreed in February, apparently without full consultation with the Afghan government. So it seems like the U.S. again is trying to produce stability in an area that has not seen stability in centuries, with deep-rooted issues and conflicts that have been going on for years. It'll be interesting to see what the outcome is reached. If the U.S. is able to succeed, they're able to produce peace before they leave, and they're able to train the proper Afghan, I guess, militants to defend their people and to continue to uphold the peace. But there is also the worry that the U.S. officials might fail. What will happen if they leave too early? If they leave during a conflict? Will the Taliban take hold of this opportunity? Or what if they leave, starting something else? And so this will become a very interesting political subject to follow in the future. As I said before, this news story has nothing to do with the COVID-19 outbreak, but I thought it appropriate at the end of this podcast to give you a little summary about what's going on with Afghanistan and COVID-19. So the official numbers of coronavirus cases in Afghanistan stands at 34, but testing there is very limited, and the disease is expected to be much more widespread and poses dangers of an epidemic among prisoners in particular. And this is very prevalent in this particular news piece, as there's talks between the Afghani government and the Taliban of release of Taliban prisoners and militants. And so again, we will see how this will play out. It was also interesting to see that the U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was putting such a priority on this mission. And that while COVID-19 is going on, and the State Department is working on that front, that they put priority here in Afghanistan with these negotiations. And so only time will tell if the U.S. is able to succeed or fail in these endeavors. And we'll see if they'll continue or if COVID-19 will catch up to Afghanistan and stall them further. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. If you want to check out more of my content, please, you can check me out on youtube.com by typing in Kevin Hobie or Studio Kevin in my second channel. If you want to ask me a question or there's a certain piece of concern that you have on a news piece that I've covered, you can leave me a mention at Kevin_Hobie@twitter.com. As always, I want to remind you guys to brush your teeth and floss. Remember to keep social distancing and to practice all regulations set by your government to prevent the spread of coronavirus. I'll see you guys on the next one. Good night.